Guardian Unlimited.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's show, we'll be getting a little flavour of Baltimore with teenage MIA protégé Rara. Tim Jones joins us to review new music from The Wave Pictures, Kid Sister and Animal Collective. We'll root through the Glastonbury lineup and round up your posts and messages. And we got chat and live music from these rapscallions. That's the Rascals. And the three Wirrellas popped into the studio this week to talk to our own Rosie Swash. Did they not, Rosie?
They did, yes, that's true.
Are you well?
I am.
Good. What about the Rascals, though?
They were very, very cheeky.
They were very cheeky, weren't
very
they?
Very cheeky lads.
Is that contractual? Do they have to do that to live up to their name?
Yes. If you're from the Wirral and you're in a band, you have to have a certain type of haircut and you have to be very cheeky.
Oh, God, blimey. It infuriates me just thinking about it.
Well, they were very nice. And they're on tour at the moment, so they're a bit hungover comically, so they'd been on the banana sambucas, which makes me feel physically sick to think of. They're promoting their album Rascalize, which is out in June. But I wanted to know a bit more about the band that the three of them, Miles, Joe and Greg, used to be in before they formed the Rascals, which they were in with a few other people called Little Flames. I wanted to know what it was about the three of them that made them go off and form their own group.
It was just a growing passion, I think, with all three of us, Rosie. It was we had a great time in that band, you know. And then it just got to a point where I think we wanted different things to them, and I suppose, like, started writing more tunes and that, and wanted to sing, like, your own songs and sing about what, rather than, like, someone else singing your tunes, you do it. And us three, like, wanted to, like, sort of have a heavy and harsher tunes to get this release out of our system, and it just came apparent that we had to do it, really, and we did that like last May.
And then really soon after, like 6 months after, you had your first EP out. I mean, that's really quick.
Yeah,
that's,
and we've done our album and that now, and that's ready for June, so it'll be like the album's out
within a year of our first gig of forming.
Is that
which was always the idea, because it was like always wanted to do it, like get the like this album's like pure captured us like dead early on, like, and probably not many bands do that these days, because it's like you've got to be, or you need to have these radio hits and blah blah blah, and it was just like we just thought, let's just go with the best songs that we're into and have like a cool album, you know, and then we can move on from that on the next one.
We're already thinking about the next
one. Yeah, we want to do that this year.
Have you written any of it?
Yeah, started it.
Are you signed to Delta Sonic, or have you just released something through them?
We're on Delta Sonic, yeah.
So had you had all your material ready when you? Because I'm just wondering, like, did you just go?
Oh,
say,
I see what you mean.
Got an album ready, and they're we'll just put it out.
Yeah, we had some songs, and like
we had a few, didn't we?
Yeah, and then like one of the first songs we had was the House of Dreams tune, which was like that first EP we released, and this other one called I'll Give You Sympathy as well. Yeah, we played them to, like, Alan, who owns Delta Sonic and that, and he really, like, was, like, dead into us, and he was like, oh, rather than put, like, your Little Flames album out, he says, I think you should just do this, and we were like, oh, we really want to, and he believed in us, and we believed, and that's what it's all about, and I think being in a band is just, like, having passion, you know what I mean? I had this conversation with James Endicott last night for about an hour in the bar. He was James Endicott, for those who don't know, runs 1965 Records, founder of Strokes Over, the Libertines and The View, and I had a good chat to him for about an hour, and he kept going on about passion. You can see passion in me. So that's what Alan Wills said to me, and that's what it is about, like, to be in a band. It's like you've got to believe and just to get in your own world and not follow.
Sorry to not keep talking about the Little Flames, but I thought maybe with you moving on from them and having this very album out really quickly, that you might think that a lifespan of a band ought to be quite short, that change is a good thing.
I think with us, it's like,
there's so much ideas. We've got, like, ideas for this, is like albums, you know what I mean?
Probably this album's like before a first album, I think. Yeah. I feel like the next one will be like a proper first. Like, you know, this is just like pure ideas and like a release. And there's plenty more albums to come from us.
Where do the ideas come from?
You know, like, you just pick up on words, or little scenarios, whether it be with girls or that, and you just like exaggerate them and that. And like, there's this song called Stockings to Suit on the album, and it's about like this like probably like, a quite a powerful girl or whatever, and it's like a tale of her like ripping through all these lads if like suits on are quite posh, and then it comes down to you, and then because she's dead fit and you just like, yeah, you just fall for it. And so there's loads of like seedy stories like that, really. A seedy album.
Our seedy debut.
But the first track, which is
the least seedy,
it's a great album opener. It's called Rascal Eyes.
And that's what the album's called.
That's what the album's called. And it's like a hip-hop tune, and it's like a real call-to-arms song. It's like, all aboard our adventure. It's like, and it just like keeps going over that, and it's like, it's dead cool. Like, it's a great opener.
You're in a film, or are you playing in the film called Away Days?
Anything
about it? Or
I don't know.
There's a little scene where we're playing an Echo and the Bunnymen cover in a club. And Miles has got two lines in the film, and they're great.
Am I allowed to hit?
Start of the acting career, Rosie.
Go on, deliver it to me, like, for real.
He's got main character. I walk off the stage through the crowd. Main character comes over and says, "Great gig, that lad."
And a bit of a worse accent than that.
Yeah, probably like. Anyway. Great gig, that lad. And then, and he goes, "Do you want a bevy?" I've got that posh now. John and Bevy. And I say, no, I'm okay. Then another one comes over. And no, that's it. He says something. And the other one comes over and says, "Do you want a drink? Do you want a Bevy?" And I say, "Sorry, I've got to go and help the guys with the gear and do that action."
And that action is thumbs
up. Do that action and then walk off with my black polo neck on into the night.
What can people expect from Rascal Eyes?
It's just... I think I said it before. It's a real album that's captured a band in probably the most earliest stages, and it's an album full of ideas and release from three young boys.
Interesting. And even more interesting is the fact that we've got an acoustic track from the Rascals at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. OK, now it's time for Singles Club, where we match Lonely Music Weekly listeners with other Lonely Music Weekly listeners, send them to a branch of Nando's and wait to see if romance emerges. Not really, Lonely listeners. I'm afraid you're on your own. Instead, in Singles Club, we review new music. And here to help us out is Man About Town, Tim Jones. Hello, Tim.
Hi.
Long time no hear.
I know.
How are you?
I'm good. Very good.
How's your health?
It's great.
Your health is great. I hear you went for a jog this morning.
Hey, that's true.
That's true. That's a sign of a man in tip-top shape. But no more chat about this, because we need to start. We need to start reviewing. When we start with the Wave Pictures, this is Strange Fruit for David. I was a young man, starving and drinking, and trying to become a writer. That was Strange Fruit for David by The Wave Pictures. They're an indie three-piece who formed in Leicestershire several years ago. It's a bit like The Young Knives, I think, in Leicestershire. Several years, three-piece, vaguely obscure. And The Wave Pictures have slowly built up what they call a cult following. Nick Lowe, singer-songwriter, said of the band singer David Tattersall, "Not only did I appreciate his Take No Prisoners musical stylings, but also the imaginative lyrical ideas I found mighty refreshing. This is a man who clearly harbours no ambition to be seen hobnobbing with Dido at the Met Bar." Though, to be frank, nobody harbours ambitions to drink with Dido at the Met Bar anymore. The band will be touring in May and coincidentally have their first album out on Moshi Moshi Records at exactly the same time. Synchronicity, eh? Rosie, you like Strange Fruit for David?
I do. I like the lyrics simply because the opening line, you think, oh God, here we go, indie schmindy. And then he just starts talking absolute nonsense and you're like, what? And then the chorus is just bizarre. It says, marmalade is marmalade, which is true. Sculpture is a sculpture, but a sculpture of marmalade. It's sculpture, but it's not marmalade.
And what does that make you think of, Rosie?
It makes me think of a pipe. This is not a pipe. And it makes me think that you don't notice that the music is quite rudimentary because the lyrics are so the foreground. Maybe that's on purpose. It's this very three chord, plain and simple, gentle music.
And the production levels are really low as well, aren't they? There's lots of echo and sounds like it's been recorded in somebody's shed.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's not what stuck out for me. What stuck out was that I'm trying to wonder whether all the emphasis is supposed to be on the lyrics because the music itself is quite simple.
Tim, let me quote a lyric for you from this song. With you inside me comes the knowledge of my death.
We've all been there.
Yes, quite literally. What do you think about the music side of this?
The music side of it, it sounds like a slightly more unhinged go-betweens to me, who I love. But I don't think there's anything that unique about it. And I've heard so many people going on about them saying, oh, you've got to listen to the wave pictures, you're going to love it. I'm a bit disappointed, really. I don't think the song is that strong. It's just very, it's just very indie, isn't it?
Mm. Where do you think it misses out? What do you think it could do with more?
Well, I do like it. I don't think it's a bad song, but I think it could be released in 1985. I don't think it's adding much to it. And like Rosie said, it's the lyrics are the thing that stands out, not necessarily the song.
And this may be naive here, but it sounds a little bit Smithsy to me. And we're obviously having the Cortinas a few weeks ago, he's got a kind of Morrissey pastiche going on with his own vocals. Is it ripe time for people to be ripping off the Smiths at the moment?
Still again,
yeah.
Relentlessly. For the 14th time. I think he sounds more like... I think there's something more Bell and Sebastian about them. Maybe that's just because the Smiths had that sort of melancholy-ness that I can't hear in this song.
It's quite abrasive as well, isn't it? It's not like a nice... Bell and Sebastian is quite sort of pleasant music with a sort of a dark lyrics, but this is quite a rasping voice, isn't it? It's not pleasant.
Strange Fruit for David by The Wave Pictures is out now. Next up, Kid Sister and Pro Nails. Just $10, matching colours, get your boogie on, flex and holler, free beers, end of the evening, looks so tight, toes out beaming, second tip from the kid, best enough, kick him a shit, gloss out, next blow, budget lady, shopaholics, with a big, flashing wallets, neon lines, lasers, comments, toes and nails, but get up on it. That's Pro Nails by Kid Sister. Real name Melissa Young. Kid Sister is based in Chicago and her boyfriend is hip-hop DJ and record label boss A-Track. She recently signed to Downtown Records, home to Mos Def, Spank Rock and Santo Gold, and her debut album is in the pipeline. She isn't lying about being someone's sister either. Her brother is rapper JK in Chicago crew Flostradamus. Now, Man About Town, Tin Jones. This act, Kid Sister, is one of the things you kind of see on cool websites and mentioned as being cool. Is this cool?
I don't mind it. When it came on, everyone in the pod put their hands over their ears and looked distraught. So
I'm bleeding out of my ear.
Chicago is where it's all happening at the moment, which is where she's from, and there's cool kids and Flostradamus, who you said. So that makes it cool, and she's connected with all those. So it's definitely cool. As a record, I think it's a fine kind of party tune. I quite like it.
Rosie?
I hate this song. It's awful. I think that she's fake. I think she's fake. I don't think she's got any talent. I don't know if I can say that her vocals are looped, because if it's not true, I could get sued. So I won't say that.
No.
But
she's definitely unprovable.
Her rapping style annoys me, and I just think it's a really grating, grating tune.
How would you classify this music? What type of music is it?
Well, there's definitely a sort of push in hip hop and Chicago and places like Atlanta, where dance music is just a massive influence, and like real, like techno and trance and the techniques you use in that. And you see it a bit in Timbaland stuff, but it's also really popular in artists like that. So it's, and some, like there's an artist called Ricky Blaze that they call it trance hall, trance and dance hall. So there's probably some newfangled hybrid available, but I would just call it crap.
it's another, we think it's produced by A-Track and it's got a guest verse from Kanye, which is turning out to be this year's obligatory guest rap.
Yeah.
Another obligatory presence is the loads of synths all over the place. Do you think that might have been slightly overexposed in this year's dance and urban music?
What, synths?
Yes.
I think it reminds me of, it's not as good as, but it reminds me of the Yo Majesty kind of, like the Enya remix they did of Club Action, which was just amazing. And it reminds me of that a little bit. And I think the more synths, the better, Paul.
The more synths, the better. So that's it. We're forward, backing synths all the way to 2009. Pronouns by Kid Sister is out now. Final track, yes, the final track on Singles Club, is Water Curses by Animal Collective. Keep on moving till I know, think I know exactly what I'm doing, but within I know exactly all the things you keep on moving. When the weather from the sins, they don't ever look my way. Wanna tell you what I'm doing, maybe night I'll be my choice. Anybody stop is bumping, and I got no way to stop it. This is all about the days we spent without me at home. When the weather from the sins, they don't ever look my way. Wanna tell you what I'm doing, maybe night I'll be my choice. That's Animal Collective with Water Curses. New York pop experimentalist Animal Collective formed 8 years ago now. They consist of band members Ave Tare, Deakin, Geologist, and acclaimed solo artist in his own right, Panda Bear. Water Curses is the lead single from the forthcoming Animal Collective EP of the same name. It's also the first release since last year's critically lauded album, you're picking up a theme here, Strawberry Jam, and the band's record label Domino have promised to change from the normal polyphonic cacophony pervaded by Animal Collective into a more stripped-down sound this time around. Much evidence of that here, Rosie Swash?
Not in this song, no. No. I think that this is, you know, I never got that into Animal Collective. I like, you know, they had tracks like Peacebone or Grass that are really, really awesome and come together really well. For every track they've got like that, it's like they must also produce something that's really kind of hard to listen to and hard to keep track of, and you don't know where it's going to go next in a way that's not actually that enjoyable and is more just a bit fascinating. So I wonder whether this is a bit contrived, and possibly because Strawberry Jam was maybe pushing them towards a little bit too much towards the mainstream, and they need to stay credible.
Tim, what do you make of this? Because, you know, you do get the impression sometimes that Animal Collective are making things as hard for the listener as they possibly can. But at the same time, they could simply be trying to push the boundaries of popular music.
I mean, did you say it was going a bit too mainstream, Rosie?
Well, maybe, Strawberry Jam, that was starting to see them become more popular than they've ever been before.
I mean, I thought the amazing thing about that is you listen to it and it's really hard to think how they put it together, whereas, you know, your average song you hear on the radio is obvious and every song on the radio sounds pretty identical. It's put together in the same way. That is, you know, you can't work out how they've done it, really, which is what musicians should be doing. And a friend of mine said that management or MGMT were about as psychedelic as Nurofen, which I quite liked. And I thought that was just basically, for people who think that is what you want to listen to, because I think it's an amazing pop song, but it's really kind of weirdly put together.
So do you think it's for people who hear that the first time and go, oh my God, there's no melody there, it repays?
Well, I don't really get that, to be honest. I think first time I heard it, I thought it's really weird, but it's a great pop song as well. Maybe I've just got a weird brain, but to me that was just great pop music.
I think you're just a little bit more open and willing to kind of experience new things.
That's what it is.
It's worth pointing out that the rest of that EP is very different. It is very stripped down.
Is it?
Yes.
And do you like the rest of it?
Yes, I do.
But not that so much?
Not that one, no.
Rosie Swash, copyright monotone, brings us to the end of this week's Singles Club. That was Water Curses by Animal Collective, by the way, and it's out on May the 5th. However, each week we ask you to contribute to the whole Singles Club debate-a-thon. Admittedly, you have to do it 7 days after we do it, but I don't think that loses anything. What we played last week was a bit of Death Cab for Cutie, and there was quite a few responses on the blog. Gatto Loco, which I think is Crazy Cat in English. I agree with Kitty Empire, says Gatto Loco, about Death Cab for Cutie in general. They are trying too hard to be different than most bands like them. Yet this 8-minute song is pretty good. Frisky Dingo was less upbeat. DCFC Epic, really, Rosie? Well, actually, what do I know? I compared Evanescence to Portishead, so I pretty much lose any taste argument by default. I gotta stop drinking before I post. Meanwhile, generic blog guy returned to the blog. He's apparently been put off by the silly voices I do on the montage. Which, when you think of all the dismal things we do in this show, to be put off by the silly voices, my God, very particular individual. But anyway, he returned just to say, I just popped in to say that Death Cab rule. They rule, man, and we've read out your comment. You can post your comments on this week's tunes from Wave Pictures, Kid Sister and Animal Collective at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. And there's some more tunes out here right now too. Pop Levi and Never, Never Love. We were so lonely at times, fading away. Isabel Campbell and Mark Lanigan, Who Built the Road? No sticks, no seeds, no blacks, no Irish, please. CDs, illegal African taxis, go to dialogue. Natty, Call Town. Santo Gold and Les Artistes. Now, like an exhibition of car parts, we've got a bumper show. So we had best move into our next interview, Tuta de Suita. Rosie, who's it with?
Rara.
Rosie, why is it with her?
Because I like her music.
Rosie, why do you like her music?
I heard her do it on a remix of MIA's Paper Plane and I just had to know more about her.
And like a diligent journalist, you followed it up.
I did. And what I wanted to know was, how does a 17-year-old rapper from Baltimore balance her school studies with touring?
Basically, I take my work on tour with me, or like, and I send it back through like the internet, completed and send it back through the internet.
Where do you tour? Where have you been touring?
I toured like the States of the U.S., and then I came over in the U.K. and toured, and then I went to Mexico and toured, and I'm about to tour the States again, and back over in the U.K. again.
How old were you when you started performing?
16.
Well, what would you call the kind of music you make? Is it hip-hop, or is it dance music, or is it both?
The music that everybody is familiar with that I do is like dance music, but I do hip-hop music as well. I'm so damn dangerous.
And how did you, because you've worked with MIA, is that why you came to the UK?
Yes.
How did you meet with her? Did she see one of your shows or?
Actually, I did a song down here that was like that she overheard, and she just came to Baltimore and she just was like, oh my goodness, I've been looking for you for the longest time. She had like did a remake of the song that I did, and that's when, like, when she came to Baltimore, we started recording together, and that's when we had met, and then she asked me to go on tour with her.
And what is she like?
She's very outgoing, fun, crazy, weird. Everything.
Would you say that she's your mentor?
Yeah, she teaches me a lot. She gives me advice and stuff about like the industry.
What are your plans after school? Do you leave next year or?
I leave this year. Yeah, I'm gonna pursue my music career, but then I want to go to college for childcare.
Why childcare?
Because I love kids. I get along with them very good.
That was Rara. Straight on the line from Baltimore. And if you go to Google and you put in Shake It To The Ground plus R-Y-E, R-Y-E, you'll get one of the best tracks she's done.
We move on because the Glastonbury lineup came out this week. And seeing as Music Weekly will be podding from there come the end of June, we thought it perhaps worth keeping Tim Jones away from hanging out with Noel Fielding to discuss the whole thing. Tim, Glasto has found itself in something of a bind. It's Britain's biggest festival, but that appears to have also raised people's expectations for it. Some people want more big names, other people want more music for the kids, others just want diversity. Will this year's lineup make anyone happy?
It'll make some people happy. It makes me vaguely happy.
Hey.
Well, I think Jay-Z is going to be amazing. I mean, that's probably been said a million times already, but I think that's the best thing that they could have done. So I'm really excited about that.
So go into that, because obviously, you know, people do think it's amazing, but we've heard a lot of people saying it'll be dismal. Why do you think it will be amazing?
Well, I mean, it's just different, isn't it? All you get, I mean, the other headliners are what we should be sort of moaning about, like The Verve and Kings of Leon. I mean, I don't think either of them are worthy to be headlining Glastonbury. I mean, Jay-Z's the biggest, best pop star in the world right now, so I don't understand why that would... And also, I think people who complain about it just don't understand what Glastonbury is, because if you don't like the headliner on one day, why does that matter? There's a million other stages that you can go and... dick around.
I just wonder whether that's partly because of the explosion of festivals now, that everybody sees Glastonbury as being like another festival, just bigger, and they have these demands on it to produce a lineup that competes with that, whereas Glastonbury's always traditionally done something a little different.
Yeah, maybe. I think the kind of people who want to buy a ticket for Glastonbury and sit in front of the main stage all day as well is just not, you know, they shouldn't be there. I'm quite happy that they're
banned.
Not going to go.
Well, they probably won't be there, actually. Looking lower down the lineup, who's caught your eye?
I think the Park stage is actually the place to go because I have to admit, a lot of the lineup did disappoint me. It's quite dull. And there's a lot of bad bands like The Feeling and The Hoosiers and Newton Faulkner, James Blunt.
Panic at the Disco.
Well, you could go on and on. So, yeah. But the Park stage's got loads of good stuff. It's got Dizzy, John Cale, Edwin Collins, Santa Gold. Just, you know, I think it's the place for hipsters like us.
Oh, yes. To a man and a woman. To hang out. And the thing about the Park was last year it was a little bit of a schlep to get up there in all the conditions. So maybe having a consistently good lineup might be a good reason for people to go and park there permanently. Rosie, do you have anything to add? Because you were quite miserable on last year's lineup and you were borne out because not many people were that impressed by the music at the end of it. This year, a bit more positive.
Well, yeah, I think like what Tim was saying is there was a few I wasn't expecting to be surprised. Which is kind of weird. Is anyone expecting to be surprised? But, you know, seeing people like Edwin Collins, you suddenly go, oh, wow, that could be really amazing. You know, Leonard Cohen, let's hope it's really good because I never thought I would get to see him perform live and what a place to do it. But I think with regards to the lineup as a whole, Vampire Weekend are a good example of a band that I've seen live and maybe quite a lot of people, young people would have seen live, but there are still a lot of people who go to Glastonbury who don't go to live music a lot and will see Vampire Weekend for the first time and will probably be blown away because they're great live. It's probably different from something that they expect to hear, and that's exactly the kind of thing when people come away and say, I saw this great band at Glastonbury. I think it's easy to be snobby about things like this if you go to a lot of gigs and you're always on the lookout for new bands, but that's not representative of the rest of the country or of festival goers in general.
Mm. Good point. Well, we'll obviously have lots more on Glastonbury in the run-up to the festival, which is on, I think, the 26th, the 27th, 28th of June, something like that.
That's right.
Before we go, there's just time to run through issues raised by your correspondents in the past 7 days, albeit in bullet point form because of time. Point one, Rosie is no longer the subject of a proposal of marriage from commenter Another Adonis. This is because she confessed to getting a D in GCSE textiles. Point two, Laura Barton also did GCSE textiles, though we think she passed. Point three, The Feelers are officially out with Barry Glendenning, star of the Football Weekly podcast. And we've asked him to come over to our show and review some singles. He should be coming up in the next few weeks, football fans. Point four, some new Facebook friends. Search for Guardian Unlimited Music or Music Weekly on that Facebook thing, and you should find us. Here's our friends, Joseph Patterson, Chris Rothschild, Sarah Pope, Jane Compton, Mark Taylor, Stuart Collins, and Robbie Ireland. There are more, but you just weren't as interesting. We're back next Thursday. Register now on the webpage to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/music/series/musicweekly. That is all for this week. Thank you very much to Man About Town, Tim Jones.
Thanks, Paul. It's been dreamy.
It's been real, hasn't it?
It's been for real.
And I'm sorry to kind of introduce, apropos of nothing, the whole Noel Fielding reference, but you've been talking to Noel Fielding today.
I have, on the phone, yeah. Only on the phone, haven't been hanging out with him.
Did you get on well?
He's a very good interviewer, as long as you've got the time. He likes to chat.
Are you going to go and meet for a drink at the Good Mixer?
Oh, we'll hang out, you know, swap stories of the Something. Mighty Boosh.
Swap capes, maybe. And thanks very much to Rosie Swash.
Thank you.
No, thank you. And we'll leave you with the Rascals. See you later, yeah?
This is called the Freak Beat Phantom. Resting himself on his crutches. Suspicious stories which are fake. Laughter was growing around in a stranger's house. And holding a stutter in his hands. And carving his words to demand. Psychotic, bionic, he was as he splutters his words. And touched by the freak beats and phantom, I'm holding on. And touched by the freak beats and phantom, I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding on.
confusion cutting the air. If I was granted one wish, I'd whisk off the girl with the white jeans for a singles night's bliss. Revise a thought to stay the home, so party continues. The bright lights illuminate the freak beat illuminates the night. By the freak beats and phantom, I'm holding on. And touched by the freak beats and phantom, I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding on. I'm holding.
Guardian Unlimited.